All right.
Welcome to the Toddcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
I know it's been like 2 weeks.
That's pretty much par for the course, I think.
Nobody's
surprised.
I mean, I was out of town. It was fun. I met Brian Tipton, who does the nerd podcast Flame On. It's an LBGT.
Okay.
Friendly nerd podcast. Great guy.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. He's out of Florida. Those guys are great. They, mm-hmm. Like, if you haven't checked out their stuff, definitely check them out. They're really funny, and they do some really great reviews.
Awesome.
They also do, like, instead of, like, how we do, like, reviews and then we do other nerd talk,
uh-huh.
like, they either do reviews or nerd talk, and they, like, flip-flop.
Okay.
But it's really cool. They're really great guys, definitely recommend checking them out. So there's my plug.
Awesome.
From my bros. All right. let's talk about some stuff. First, let's talk about some stuff that happened.
Okay.
So while I was gone, mm-hmm. we had Magic pre-release.
Yes,
and
which
we
went
also
really
had
well.
Not at Comic Con Day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about pre-release. How was pre-release, Brian?
Pre-release here at the Mills was really awesome. We had a total of 87 participants, not necessarily
over
87
3 days,
different. Yeah, right. over the three events we had.
They had almost 50 at the first one.
Yeah,
on Saturday,
first
right?
one Saturday at 10 was like 44, 46,
yeah.
and then 24 at the 6 p.m., which I participated in, which was fun. My very first pre-release.
How'd you do?
I did poopy. Of course, you know.
Scrub.
I won twice. Out of five rounds, I won twice, but one was a bye, so it doesn't even count.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's not very good.
But still, it was cool. You know, it was fun to do it and see how it went, how it goes on the inside and stuff.
What did you learn from your experience, Brian?
Nothing. What? I mean, it's magic. I mean,
right. You learned that it's fun.
Yeah.
Is what I was going for. That it's fun, and it's kind of cool
yes.
to go and hang out with
your
community.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to not sell it.
In
sorry.
A different,
it pre-releases are awesome. Come do
right.
them all.
Well,
but
no, I guess,
it was a good
like,
time.
Like, I guess like, where I was going was like, do you feel that you learned more about the community that you are fostering here at the Mills and more about the Magic community in general by playing in an event like that? Because it's not just a constructed event. It's not just a casual event.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, somewhere in between. It's a little bit more more
competitive
than a Friday Night Magic, but mm-hmm. in the same right, it's like the thing that a lot of people just come to once a year or four times a year,
right?
And it's the only event they actually play in. Everything yeah. else is hanging out with my buddies.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, I got good reaction. Like, people were like happy to see me playing because, you know, I work here, and they're
right.
like, "Oh, you're playing in this one. This is cool." You know,
right?
I got
it's
to
a
play
different
some
ball game. Yeah,
yeah.
So
that was cool.
Your street cred just went
yeah.
up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I mean, they've seen me on casual a couple times, but now right. some of them, you know, that hadn't
oh, yeah.
seen that would. But still, overall, it was a good time.
That's
it
awesome.
Was a long day because I worked the first shift and then went right into it. So
worked Sunday.
Yeah, and then came back Sunday and stuff so, for another 20 people on the Sunday one, which was good. Not
good
at Comic Con Day was great. We had five different like artists here mm-hmm. at the Mills. They all did really well. They were happy with, you know, the like how they
yep.
did, like meeting people, selling stuff. They really enjoyed it. I think we gave them a good environment for it because, like, you
yeah.
know, we got them lunch and stuff, and we're talking with them. Like, Ryan and I went around a couple times throughout the day
That's awesome.
To each of them saying, hey, how's it going? You know, we'd stop and talk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, ask them about their stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
what kind of things they were doing, and it got a good reaction, I think. And the customers that came in either knowing it was here and not knowing it was here still reacted really well. And they were like, oh, what's
That's
this?
Awesome.
And they, you know, would look around and buy some stuff.
Yeah, I've talked to all of the guests that came in to all of the stores, or at least most of them. I think there might be one that I haven't yet. And I just, like, thanked them for coming. And all of them said they had a blast. Like, everyone I've talked to was like, yeah, I had a blast. It was great. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really want to hang out, like, more often in the store. And if you guys do more, blah, blah, blah. So all of them
yeah.
wanted to come back. The T-Fizz guys said they sold some stuff, and they had a fun time.
Yeah.
You know, looking forward to hanging out with those guys more as
yeah.
we do more things.
And people reacted well to the shirts because they're funny, cool
yeah.
shirts.
Yeah.
So even
and they're coming for Steel City Con, and they were like, are you guys doing that? I was like, no, unfortunately not. I'm like, but I'm totally down with hanging out. So I might go into Monroeville during Steel City Con, hang out with the T-Fizz guys.
Nice.
No, it's great. All the stores did really well. All the reports I got back were great. Sounds like everybody had a blast. Also, I passed my level one judge test.
That's right.
Right
yes.
before I left for
about
New Orleans.
That.
Thank you. So now there's two level one judges in the company. Dan's on his way to being level two, though. So it'll be
pulling ahead of you.
I know. So, but by pass it was good. I'm already like I've already gotten in touch with like the regional guys, so it's kind of cool to see like a different side of that community right. show up.
So now, what kind of a draw on your time is that going to be? Like, are you going to start doing judging around the city,
or like you focusing? Maybe mostly I'm going to focus on our guys, obviously.
Right.
But it allows more than just Dan to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if C3 wants to do something and Dan can't do it, I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Butler wants to do something, I can go up there and run it, and Dan can play in it.
Oh,
because
okay, yeah.
As the like anything that happens at the Mills, I cannot play in a competitive level
mm-hmm.
because I'm the tournament organizer. So automatically, I can't do it automatically. Mm-hmm. So when Dan's here for them, he can't play in them.
Right.
So now Dan can come here and play in them, and I can go to Butler and play in his.
Right.
And vice versa.
It's
and,
fair.
You know, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more fair. It'll be a little more for him too, which is really great. Dan's a great guy. And speaking of Magic, this Saturday, if you're in Elwood City around 5 o'clock and you want to do an Origins draft, come on up and hang out with me and Dan and Hunter and a couple other guys. And we're going to be doing their first Magic event in like almost a year and a half.
Wow. Well, that's
yeah.
cool. Crack back into that.
Right. It's also their anniversary sale.
What a segue.
Great segue. So they have a bunch of stuff on sale. You get a free long box of stuff. You can win one every hour they're open.
Okay.
You just by coming in, you get your name in the thing. So we're going to give away 9 of them because they're open from 10 to 7. All of the dollar books upstairs are going to be half price, so 50 cents a piece. It's going to be that's huge
because mm-hmm.
there's a lot of dollar books and there's always new stuff in there. 20% off all Silver Age comics, which they have the biggest Silver Age selection in the company.
Okay.
Besides, I think Cranberries is close, but they have the biggest one. And then 10% off all toys, gaming, graphic novels, and statues. And they just got a ton of statues and toys in, and their graphic novel section is the biggest in the company because that's where we keep all of our back stock.
Oh, right, right.
So if you want to come up and try to find a graphic novel that you don't find in one of the stores regularly, come on up, man, because it's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they just bought a ton of toys, and there's a new layout for the store, which is cool.
Oh, they reorganized? That's cool.
Yeah, we now have 4 gaming tables. The shirts actually hang around like the Mills does.
Mm-hmm.
They moved a bunch of all their trades into a different section. They now have gaming singles in their cases. There's a lot of progress being made there, and it's not done, but it's still working toward
mm-hmm.
being more retail-y. So like everybody nice. That used to think, oh, where it's just a warehouse, it's not very good. Definitely come up and check it out because it's a totally different thing.
Awesome.
Then Wednesday, August 19th, pretty much we don't really have a lot going on at the end of July, beginning of August, but the 19th,
it's recovery month for us.
It yeah. is. That's pretty true.
I mean, all the things. I mean, we, comic now book is the day, time, like, all see, the big things in the see, top half of the year.
All this time is where all of us try to take our vacations.
Right.
I just got back from mine. Somebody's going to go. I think Scott goes on his tomorrow or
yes,
next week.
Yeah.
So anyway, on the 19th of August, it's a Wednesday night from 2 to 4 at C3 and 6 to 8 at the Mills. Some of the guys from Xenoscope are going to be there for the Van Helsing versus Dracula number 1 premiere party. This is something new they're trying to do. They're driving out from Philly. They're going to be hanging out. Everyone that comes in and purchases the number 1 gets a free comic, an entry to win some like really expensive like variant stuff they have.
Ooh, nice.
And some other cool prizes. And then they have promotional merchandise, but it's only for the first 20 people per location.
Wow.
So you're going to want to come in, check it out. It's going to be awesome. I've actually read a lot of reviews about this book, and it's actually like supposed to be super, super good.
Cool.
So, then the 22nd and 23rd of August, 22nd, we're having a Grand Prix Indianapolis trial at the Mills. It's standard constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day, the 23rd, is going to be at the Century 3 location, also standard constructed. It's all the same, like it's all the same format. So if you don't do well Saturday, you can go out on Sunday at C3, or if you want to hit both and try to win, you know, and really try to get your Grand Prix trial for Indianapolis, which is not that far away either.
Right.
It's a great drive. Beautiful drive, actually. So then September 5th is Free Graphic Novel Day. Woo! Free graphic novels.
I believe what we've got a slightly newer batch to bring out this year.
Yeah, it's slightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit more. That's also Labor Day weekend, which means Cranberry Cookout on the 6th.
Awesome, yeah.
So I'll be cooking burgers and dogs again. It's going to be great. Then we have like a ton of cons coming up that we're doing. Because we're doing Wizard World Pittsburgh.
Right. Which is September 11th.
Yeah, that weekend.
That weekend.
And then we're also doing Baltimore Comic Con 2 weeks after that. And now there might be a chance we might be going to Cincinnati Comic Expo in between.
Nice.
So September is going to be John on the road weekends. I'm pretty pumped for it.
Right.
I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You kind of thrive on that, though.
I do. I really like it.
When we went on our trip, I mean, you love the drive.
I think it's just the road trip.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a road trip.
I like road trips as long as it's like tops out at like 4 hours. Past 4 hours, I start to get bored.
I think like six is kind of like my hope target of max. After six, it gets rough. Like coming back from New Orleans and driving 18 hours was...
Which is insane.
Right. And I did it myself. Once. Yeah.
Why? I still don't understand why you did it.
I don't know. I just, you know, those guys...
Try to be macho.
Okay, here's the deal. This was like my third or fourth convention. These guys, it was their first one. They're still in college. They totally...
Tore it up.
They tore it up. They tore it up hard. Like one guy totally won $100 at one club, and I'm not going to tell you how, but I'll let you figure it out. And
sounds bad. Okay.
A lot of those guys, like they just, it was their first one, man. So they were tired, and like I at least the night before was like, you know what, I'm going to try to stay in a little bit. Like I still had a couple drinks, but I didn't like stay out till four like I was every other night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know drive back. So it was. It's very interesting and beautiful city. If you haven't been to New Orleans, check it out. Bourbon Street is insane.
Mm-hmm.
But we were right on Canal Street, so it's like the main four-lane highway.
Wow.
Walked over to the Superdome, checked that out. Went to the Mardi Gras Museum and got to see all kinds of stuff they have in storage, including a bunch of superhero heads and bodies. Like, there's this giant Flash head. If you follow me on Facebook, you can see him on there. There was one where like Superman and Shazam are there, and then there's like a movie Green Goblin head from the first Spider-Man movie.
Right.
It was awesome. Like it was really cool, and like to just take in the culture and the infectious freedom that comes with being in New Orleans, because everything's like it's like jazz and just everybody's just kind of like carefree and very laid back, and it's like the least stressful and one of the most clean cities I've ever been in.
Wow.
Like, no joke. It was, like, gorgeous, clean, and pristine. Like, the streets were, like, pristine. Like, Bourbon Street gets wrecked every night. Mm-hmm. And then by, like, 9 o'clock in the morning, it's, like, beautiful.
Wow.
I was like, man, these guys, like...
I'd hate to be those cleaning guys.
Right? Like, what the hell? It's crazy. So...
So
cool.
Sorry.
Anyway, sorry. There. Let's talk about comics. Let's talk some new books for a little bit. All right, first book I'm going to talk about is Saga number 30.
Sega.
Now this book is this book is by Fiona Staples and Brian K. Vaughan. They've been the creative team all 30 issues.
Nice.
This book has just been amazing. Like the art is always good. The story's great. It's actually kind of like at a weird culmination point where. Like the child that's telling the story finally gets like separated from both parents, and the guy, like the one robot that stole the prince robot, like all kinds of crazy stuff goes on with him. The parents finally get reunited. Like it's just insane. Like everything goes on. The Will comes back to life. But he's all pissed off because his sister died to bring him back to life. And like, it's nuts. There's a lot of swearing in this one, so I really can't give you a play-by-play. but it's super good. The art's just absolutely phenomenal. So make sure you check that out. It's Saga by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. So.
All right. I'm keeping mine in the Make Mine Marvel section this week. So we've got two titles from... Secret Wars. We got Civil War is going to be the first one I'm talking about. So,
okay.
Especially with the movie coming out, I think just a quick recap, everyone, that's, you know, big nerds know that from the original Civil War was a skew down the superhero community because the government, after a big accident where some rookie heroes were attacking a Nitro, a supervillain that could explode and put himself back together.
Right.
He took out a school when they fought him. And so a bunch of small elementary school kids died. And so suddenly the country's up in arms, you know, as you would assume, saying, hey, these superheroes are, they're walking around like they're walking nukes, basically. They need to register. We need to know who they are. So they're trying to put through a registration act so that all superheroes must give you their identities payroll of the government and then get proper training.
Mm-hmm.
There's a divide where Tony Stark is all in with that because he feels guilty and he's like, yes, well, this is what we should do. But Captain America feels it's like a violation of civil liberties, and it's like they become these two warring factions. Like the superhero community divides and chooses sides. And there's all these big battles and a couple twists, which are really cool. So I recommend you go grab the trade or the single issues and check out the original Civil War. Now, which does have a resolution. Secret Wars Civil War picks up as if the original Civil War's never ended.
Whoa.
Did
Giant Man die?
Yes.
Okay.
Way to spoil it. No. So at one point, Mr. Fantastic helps build a giant supervillain prison in the Negative Zone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a point in the original Civil War where a bunch of Captain America's people go in to rescue their fellow heroes that had been incarcerated there for not registering.
Right.
Well, in this timeline, what happens is when they go in for that, someone betrays them.
Okay.
And sets the prison to blow. Where, like, Tony Stark is like, I didn't authorize this. What's going on? And so Cloak, from Cloak and Dagger, who can teleport, Captain America, I think, screams at him to teleport everyone. So he teleports everyone, like, both sides, to try and get him the hell out of the prison before it blows. And he just barely does it, but because of, like, the way the teleportation works, it brings some of the explosion with it or something, and he goes with it. Like, so there's basically just a massive explosion in the normal world, and it takes out like 15 million people. It explodes in like it's in the dead center of the country, one of the major cities, mm-hmm. and just nukes it basically. And like, so Matt Murdock's dead, Cloak's dead, a whole bunch of other heroes are dead, and the ones that survive.
So they kind of made like similar to like rift. Fastballs killing as a school,
right? Just only so place. Now okay. It just escalated it so much that at this point, there's a literal, like, not Grand Canyon, but a massive hole in the center of the country,
crater,
yeah, basically. And so everyone chooses sides, like normal people, heroes, and so it keeps escalating to the point where Tony Stark is president of the eastern half of the United States,
right?
And Captain America is now general of the western half, and right. they're not the United States anymore. They're two separate. Jeez. One's called the Iron with his Iron Man, and the other one's called I can't remember, the Blue, and that's the western side. So where the Civil War number one picks up is that they're trying to have a peace talk. This has been like 15 years later.
Right.
Okay. So everyone's older. I believe it's 15 years, somewhere around there. And so Tony Stark's side is getting overpopulated because they have no room to grow.
Right.
Whereas Cap's side is plenty of room, but they're not getting the resources they need, so people are like going hungry. And because Iron Man's trying to like cut off some of their routes and stuff like that too, so they come to have a peace talk. Wait, what is it here? Moderated by... who is she? Miriam Sharp.
Oh, okay.
So she lost like a husband and all this stuff but she's trying to, because she's dealt with both of them before in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to mediate this peace talk right in the dead center on the town that was created on that crater. Like, there's a one bridge that goes across it, and she lives in one of the towns.
Right.
So Cap and Iron Man show up. Cap has Peter Parker with him, who now dons the Falcon wings.
Oh.
And Iron Man is, like, apparently dating She-Hulk. So She-Hulk's out in, like, in her special uniform and is his bodyguard.
Okay.
And
she looks like Gamora.
Yeah, she does look like Gamora, only taller.
Yeah.
So one of the things is Parker absolutely despises Stark, mm-hmm. because when this rift happened, he was on Cap's side. Whenever like the walls kind of went up and like it became illegal to cross.
Yeah.
But Mary Jane and his daughter were on Stark's side. And since the divide, no one is legally allowed to cross. If you cross over into Stark's territory, you're a traitor and you get shot. Oh. And if you go over, like, it's same, like, same way. So he hasn't seen his wife and kids in like 10 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So as a sign of good faith, Stark brings them. And it's like, look, Pete, I never wanted that. You know, here, for as long as we're talking, you can be with your family. And Cap's like, yeah, go ahead and go, Parker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the middle of this talk, and it's not going well already. And Miriam is trying to calm him down, and they're all sitting across the table with, like, you know, this nice windowed area. And she stands up to, like, they all stand up, like Stark and them, like, oh, you're never going to do it. And she's like, guys, please sit back down. And she gets shot by a sniper rifle.
What?
And so that freaks out everybody, and, like, Cap's like, Parker, find it, go. It's like from this direction, it's from our side. It was from shot from Cap's side. Parker goes shooting out to find that. All he finds is the rifle. And then he reports back, and Stark is like, this came from your side. You know, you never want this peace talk. And Cap's like, you don't understand. For a sniper to make that shot, and we all know who could have done it, and he works for you. But regardless of that, and he's like, bullseye doesn't work for me, all this stuff. But it's like, for that shot to be fired, it would have been fired 6 or 7 seconds before she got hit. He's like, what's that got to do with anything? She wasn't standing when the shot was fired. That was aimed at me. So he's like, you are setting something up. You tried to, like,
so
that's where it, like, you know, ends. And it was a really intense, kind of well-written,
who did it?
Yeah, let me see here. Let me get that for you. Writer was Charles nice. Soule.
Charles Soule.
Yeah. Colorist love was Sonny Cho. Penciler, Lennon Francis Yu. So the artwork's good. The story was really good. Had a real intensity to it. And, like, you know, I recommend it. It's one of the few Secret Wars titles that I'm really getting behind.
That's awesome. All right, so my second book was kind of it's kind of like a novelty book because, like, I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, as everyone knows, and I also like Star Trek.
Right.
So this is the DC IDW crossover Star Trek Green Lantern, the Spectrum War, number one. This is
Spectrum like colors.
Right. So it starts off with, like, Ganthet on, like, this planet, and all the rings are following him, and then he's like, no, impossible, and then, like,
oh,
you
this
just
is
see
the
a bright
young,
light.
This is the new Star Trek cast.
Yeah. So then the movie Star Trek cast shows up, and they're like, we found a planet, and it's showing some life forms. So then they go down there and check it out, and they find the dead body of Ganthet and all these rings. So they take the rings back, and they take Ganthet's body back to see what's going on. And, like, there's a great scene where, like, they bring the body back, and Bones is just like, well, he's dead, Jim. He has been for a while.
And, like, that's awesome.
Like, all I can hear is him saying it like that in my head as I
read
it.
So what was the actor's name?
I can't remember who did it in the new one.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of the old one, though. Yeah.
But, well, he did. They still did it well.
Oh, yeah.
So then they, like, he brings the rings to Scotty and his
Simon
little,
Pegg.
Like, the alien dude with the weird eyes.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're going to experiment on them, and we'd like to hit them with tachyon rays if it's cool with you, Captain. And he's like, permission granted, but keep close an eye on them. And so they're like, ooh, interesting. Ooh. In the meantime, these Klingons show up, and they're like, ah, Kirk. Like, and they're just yelling at him. And then all of a sudden, they're like, what's going on? And there's a big explosion, and the rings start flying everywhere. And the Klingon's like, oh, you're attacking us, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, that's not what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And they're like, the shields are up, but it seems to be coming from the outside. So rings are flying everywhere, and then
can we say that the shields were
yes,
the shields were green.
Yes, the shields were green,
which was nice. I like that.
Chang of Kronos, you are chosen. Pavel Chekhov of Earth, you are chosen. Nyota Uhura of Earth, you are chosen. Leonard McCoy of Earth, you are chosen. And he just goes, you don't say. And then like, they do Chekhov's voice in, like, how you would phonetically hear. He's like, what is happening? what is happening? Happening. She's just like, oh, my God. So they're getting, like, so the Klingon's getting the yellow ring, the Sinestro Core. Chekhov looks like he's getting
blue one.
A blue ring. Uhura's getting a Star Sapphire. And Chekhov, and Dr. McCoy is getting a Indigo. And then all of a sudden they're like, there seems to be a human floating outside. And it's Hal Jordan. He's like, nice ship. Where's my friend? Or is my friend Skeleton aboard that? And then that's how it ends.
That's awesome.
So I'm pretty excited to read the rest of these. Like, it just it was so much fun to read that it just wasn't like it wasn't anything like I expected. I expected it to be a little more sciencey, but I was just like, man, this is like perfectly funny.
Yeah.
Well, and especially that's Johnson and Hernandez doing that.
Especially
one.
Especially when I didn't realize it was the new cast.
Yeah.
So of course they're gonna make it more actiony.
Yeah.
You know, less sciencey than you know. That's funny.
It's super funny though. Funny, funny book. So.
All right, and so my second book, also from Secret Wars, is The Amazing Spider-Man: Renew Your Vows.
Number two.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So anybody that knows me knows how much I despise the whole nullification of Mary Jane and Peter's wedding, and that's right. Years after I hated the whole getting rid of the kid thing. So I was super excited
what,
for this.
What, Brian, you,
me,
no,
last chance.
No.
So to give you an idea, Renew Your Vows takes the premise that they kept a baby, like nothing ever happened, like Norman Osborn didn't steal it, and then the world forgets about it. So, and, you know, little May, and so she starts to grow up. She's still like a toddler in issue one, but Venom breaks out of the vault and comes after them. Like, Parker knows that Venom's out,
right.
He's like, he's coming
for me. I don't think
me.
It's May, though.
Isn't it May? I thought,
no.
Is it Annabelle?
Annabelle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
The other daughter that never lived.
Right. So, the cool thing about, so, like, in the first one, there's this guy called the Regent, calling himself the Regent. You hear rumblings where, like, Daredevil has gone missing. A bunch of the X-Men haven't been heard from for a while.
Right.
So, like, Captain America is calling, like, all hands on deck for the Avengers to be like, we got to address this. Heroes are going missing.
Right.
And Peter is going to go with them. And it turns out, like, the Regent has been experimenting on those missing heroes and taking their powers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes his play at the same time that Venom is loose. So Parker's like, it's Cap and the Avengers. They can handle whatever it is, because he doesn't realize it at the time.
Right.
So, meanwhile, what actually happens is the Regent kills them all and, like, takes their powers and basically takes over the world and says, like, he's in charge. Well, meanwhile, Peter's fighting Venom, and Venom absolutely goes for the baby. Peter knocks him out of the apartment, and Mary Jane grabs the kid and runs. And because I love that how well they made Mary Jane, she's really smart in this, like she always was, but they focus on that. So she doesn't just, what are we going to do? She sees a fire truck racing by. She jumps on it because the siren will help weaken the symbiote if it gets away from Peter.
Right.
And plus it's going to a fire, which is the other weakness of the symbiotes.
Right.
So they get there, and like the guys are like, what are you doing, lady? You know, and she's like, shut up, I'm trying to save my baby. And she jumps in the cab and turns on the siren. And then they see Venom, you know, slam into the truck.
Right.
Peter hot on his tail. And they duke it out a little bit. And Peter is really getting wailed on really hard, like, throughout the entire battle.
Right.
You know, but he keeps pushing because, you know, Annabelle's in danger. And he's trying to force Venom into the burning building.
Right.
And Venom even figures it out. He's like, oh, nice try, Parker. I wouldn't have expected you to try that, but you're not going to get me. He starts fighting back, and then he just, like, puts everything he has into it and slams them both into the building. And they're duking out, and you hear Venom's like, I don't care. I'm coming after your kid no matter what you do. You know, she's going to be mine, and I'll, like, make you watch as I, like, to kill her, or can't remember 100% of that, or, like, put the symbiote on her or something. Like,
right.
She's going to be taken. And he's flipping out, and Mary Jane on the outside is asking the firemen's like, what is there, anybody in there? And they're like, no, it was abandoned. And so she screams into there, and she's like, Spider-Man, there's no one else in the building. Do you understand? And he's like, God help me, I do. And he, like, takes out the support beams, and the entire burning building comes crashing down on both of them. But since Venom was already weakened by the flames, Peter's able to get out, and it kills Venom and destroys the symbiote. Well, as far as we know, you know.
Right.
So now cut to issue two, and he gives up being Spider-Man to protect her, like, because of all the other heroes dying and stuff. So, like, you see at the end, like, someone's being mugged, and he's like, remember, honey, you know, look both ways before crossing the street, because now it's, like, 8 years later.
Okay.
You know, she's older, and, like, you know, I have responsibility to my family, you know, not, you know. So
I can't be a hero. Yeah.
Right. So issue two is let's get the, so it's written by Dan Slott.
Mm-hmm.
Artist is Adam Kubert. Artwork is excellent, and the writing is really good. I really recommend both of these issues. So basically it starts out with Annabelle, like, they hear like they hear a noise or something, and they go rushing to her room, and she's on the ceiling, like sleeping.
Oh.
And so he jumps up there and grabs her, and he wakes her up. He's like, "Honey, we've talked about this. You can't do this. You can't use your powers." And she's like, "But there was the scary shadow was under my bed again," which is blatantly implying Venom.
Right.
And he even says, like, "No, Daddy killed that years ago. You're fine. You're just seeing things," or whatever. And it's like, but like, and then he's like, turns to Mary Jane. He's like, "She blew out another inhibitor bracelet, you know?" And so the Regent is like constantly scanning for metahumans.
Powers, right.
And he's got a bunch of them on his payroll.
Yeah.
But like the ones that, like, basically the bad guys and stuff like that. So, you know, until they can afford to buy another one because they're expensive,
right?
He's like, you have to not use your powers and all this stuff, and he has to like sell pictures to Jonah, but they're not of Spider-Man; they're of like people protesting the, you know, Regent and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not being sold to put them in the paper. JG's paying him to bury the pictures. That's how how it works now. Peter takes pictures of good stuff, and Jonah, since he's like controlled now, pays him to, like, "You bloodsucker, how dare you," know?
Right.
So anyway,
that's fun.
Mary Jane drops Annabelle off at school, and she's like, "Remember, honey, you know, you're special and all this, but for today, don't be special," you know?
Right.
And so they're all off on their own things, and while Peter's at the Bugle, they get a report that a child at one of the schools has started using powers, and like the Regent's people are on their way and stuff like that.
Oh no.
And Parker and Jonah's like, "Parker, you better not go down there and try to, you know, take pictures of your vampire," and he's already gone. And so now he's got like a hoodie with the hood like pulled real, real tight over his face, and he's Spider-Maning his way over there. And people are like, "It's him, he's real, he's back," you know?
Mm.
And like he calls Mary Jane, she's like, "I heard, I'm on my way." You know, they're rushing there because they think something happened to her because it's the same school.
Right, right.
And I can't remember who was, there was a couple of super villains on the site, like on site that apprehended it, but it's not Annabelle. It's one of her classmates. And she's standing there. Oh, it's like,
wait. Boomerang.
No, that's earlier. Sorry. Rhino. It's the Power Pack.
Oh.
The Power Pack are going to her school, and they use their powers, and Rhino is trying to stop them, along with Boomerang. And
that's hilarious.
And Annabelle's like, "This, you know, all the powers, like, I should be doing something. I should help."
Right.
And then just when she's getting ready to, Spider-Man lands, and like Rhino's like, "Oh man, I knew you were still alive. I've been waiting so long." And he's like, "Shut up." And just cold cocks him. And she's like, "Dad, wow." And then Mary Jane comes running in and is like, "Little, come on, we got to go. Don't worry about it. Your dad's fine." And they race off, and you know, he gives the powers time to run off, to fly off, you know, just hide or whatever. And he gets out of there as best he can, but now the Regent knows he's out there, and he sends his Sinister Six to find Spider-Man.
So Hobgoblin, Shocker, Kraven, Ock, Mysterio, and Vulture.
Yeah, and Vulture looks like an actual vulture.
Yeah.
And so the end is really cool, because she's like, Mary Jane's like, "Look, I've been saving this. You need to be out there. You need to protect us." And you know, he's like, "Oh, I can't do that," and she's like, "No red and blue, no drawing attention," and she gives him the black costume.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's like, "I told you I'd never wear that again," and she's like, "Desperate times, like, you know, things have changed. You need to be out there, and you need to protect us."
That's
and
awesome.
That's how it ends, and I'm like, "Oh, this is so good." I can't wait for the rest of it.
All right, some books that came out this week. Which you can find at ndcomics.com under new releases.
And at your local New Dimension Comics store.
Right. And if you don't see one, remember, this updates every Monday. If you don't see it, or if you want to make sure that you get it, let your local store know, and we will make sure we can get you one. Usually we can get them to you by the end of the week. So Adventure Time Cake, Fiona Cake, Card Wars 1, Ant-Man Annual 1, Armor Wars 3, Astro City 25, Astronauts in Trouble 2, Big Trouble in Little China 13, Black Canary 2, Book of Death number 1 from Valiant, which I've heard a lot of great things about.
Oh, really?
Heard a lot of great reviews on it. I actually, it's in my pull box. I haven't read it yet, but Matt Kent's been tearing it up over at Valiant. Captain Britain and the Mighty Avengers. I'm actually really excited about that because I love Captain Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps.
Number two,
Drop Dead number 3, Death Head number 1, Doomed number 2, Dr. Fate number 2, Empty number 5, Fathom Blue number 2, Fiction 2, Giant Days 2, Godzilla in Hell number 1, Green Lantern Lost Army 2, Gru, Friend or Foe, 7, Guardians of Nowhere number 1, Hail Hydra number 1, Harley Quinn 18, Hawkeye number 22, thank God. It finally has come out. It's
oh
like
my gosh, yes.
Miraculous
everyone was freaking out on Wednesday and Thursday about that.
Inhumans, Adelon Rising 3, Invincible number 121, Justice League 142, Kaijimax 4, King the Phantom 4, Prince Valiant 3, Korvac Saga 2, Lady Rawhide, Lady Zora 4, Letter 4488, Lumberjane 16, Martian Manhunter number 2, Mega Man number 51, Moon Knight number 17, O-Killstrike 3, Planet Hulk 3, Planets vs. Zombies, Bully for You number 2, a bunch of cool pop guys. Let's see. Ooh, 10th Doctor pop. I might have to buy
that
one.
We might have that over there, I think.
I may have to buy that. Postal number 5. Rachel Rising 35. Reanimator 4. Red Sonja 1973. Rain 6. Batman Son of Robin number 2. Roche Limit Clandestiny 3. Secret Identity 6. Secret 6 number 4. Secret Wars Battle World number 2. And number 3. Number 2 is a reprint. Shaper number 5, Siege number 1, Silver Surfer 13, Simpsons 222, Six Gun Valley of Death number 2, Skull Kickers number 33, Sonic Worlds Unite Battle number 1, let's see, Star Wars number 4, that can't be right, might be another print, Superman Wonder Woman 19, Swords of Sorrow, Vampirella, Jennifer Blood number 3, Ultimate End number 2, Yosagi Ojimbo 147, Where Monsters Dwell number 3, and Years of Future Past number 3, which is a great segue, that one specifically.
Yeah.
All right, so as you guys may have noticed, last week was San Diego Comic-Con.
They coincided with our Not at Comic-Con
right.
day. They copied us.
A.K.A. Comic-Con International. So we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff.
A lot of cool trailers came out of there.
First, we're going to talk about some trailers because it was a good segue from the last one.
Yeah.
So if you liked X-Men Days of Future Past, the movie, the trailer for X-Men Apocalypse got leaked.
Right.
So
we're talking crappy quality, you know, handheld. Yeah. Like you can tell the guy almost gets caught at the end. He tilts it away real quick and puts it back. So
and also, like, you know, like the sound quality isn't great either.
Yeah,
so.
But we know if you're a nerd and you're listening to this, most likely you've watched all of these.
Yeah. So my thoughts are that it's probably going to be just as good as Days of Future Past. I'm not upset with how Apocalypse looks. I'm upset that he's more purple-hued. But it may just be
the crappy
color because the poster for him, he's blue. So.
And you got to remember, and I know. We'll get to this in a couple minutes, but the Deadpool trailer is actually because the way these leaks have come out. So Suicide Squad, when it was leaked, DC and Warner Brothers broke and said, fine, here's the HD version.
Yeah.
Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds actually said, the special effects weren't finished in that. You'll get the real one in 3 weeks. Just hold on.
Right.
So same with, you know, Days of Future Past. The coloring and stuff is probably not finished, so we'll probably get a real one
and a better looking one.
Yeah.
So that was good. So let's talk about Deadpool since it's the other Marvel one on there.
Well, wait a second. I didn't say what I thought of it.
Okay, sorry.
I thought it sucked. No. It was okay. I don't know that it just from the one trailer. I mean, you can't go off with just that. But I feel it looks like it's going to be a little worse than Days of Future Past, which I liked. I liked that movie a lot, but I just
so
don't
you think it's going to be like between Days and First Class?
Yeah, maybe not even First Class level. I just don't feel it from this one. The other
I didn't
ones,
really like First Class.
Okay. I did. But, like, I think Apocalypse looks stupid. I think he looks like he's trying to be Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy with the hood. He doesn't have a hood. I don't even know where that comes from. And
see,
I get if they don't want to do
see
the
more
mouth
about it,
stuff,
and I want to see what's going on with it.
Well, oh, absolutely.
So,
I mean, you can't. I'm not saying,
right.
like, oh,
so
never
from this
garbage.
Trailer, I think it looks like it has a lot of potential. That's really where I was going. Like, I think it looks like it could be as good as the other stuff. I don't necessarily think that, like, I'm not going to make too many decisions yet because you know the movie doesn't come out for like another year.
Yeah.
So
I agree, but you know, I just wasn't wowed by it. Let me say that.
Now, I totally was wowed by the Deadpool one.
That was friggin' awesome.
The line about if you're going to give me a costume, don't make it green or animated.
Yeah.
You saw me. I lost my shit.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I was cautiously optimistic going. I was like, oh, Ryan Reynolds is doing it. I know he likes the character.
Right.
Hopefully they'll do it justice this time. But that trailer, I'm all in. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. It's going to be, I'm excited now.
I was all in when they were like, we're going to make it an R-rated Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Because as much as everybody hated what happened in Wolverine, like,
he was still good.
He, as Wade Wilson, was awesome.
Yep.
So what they did as the quote-unquote Deadpool at the end...
was idiotic.
Was terrible.
Right.
But this version of him, like seeing him in the suit,
mm-hmm.
making the jokes, talking to the camera...
Fourth wall breaking was great.
Yeah, the fourth world, like, cue the music.
Yep, looks directly at the camera. So good.
I was like, oh, man.
And
this is going to be great.
Megasonic teenage warhead. when he's like... What? It is like, so awesome.
Yeah, it really makes me go, this is going to be cool. The only thing that I thought was weird was it kind of makes it more... I feel like there's some kind of like underwritten love story that's
going to
happen.
Yeah, there's going to be, unfortunately.
Unlike the real continuity where he's just like, you know, I have cancer and I don't want to die and I'm a mercenary. So whatever you can do to help. Yeah,
so I guess that's still in play.
Yeah.
Because they do say that, oh, you've got... skill as a warrior, we can make you better. But like now he's got like a wife or a girlfriend that's like with him during the cancer reveal and stuff. And she's like, oh, we'll get through this type of thing.
I love when he yells F. Liefeld.
Yeah.
That was great. Like that alone makes me want to see the whole movie.
Right.
I'm in. All right, moving on. So Suicide Squad.
Hated it.
I'm not super impressed. I do like what they're doing with Jared Leto as Joker, but only because that's exactly how I expected him to be.
Okay.
And I liked it, but I want to see more to definitely make, like, I hope he's like that the entire time.
I just, to me, the trailer was boring. Like, nothing happened in it for me.
Exactly.
And then, like, the Joker aspect, first of all, like, well, I don't know anything about Suicide Squad. I barely understand. Like, I barely know what they are. I get it. They're a team of bad guys. Sort of like a weapon pointed in the direction of good. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because like, if they don't do what they're supposed to on their mission, then they get blowed up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did do that. Like, what was that, inhibitor or something? Or
yeah, there's
inhibitor,
like a
collar. Or?
They put, like, they actually, like, implant a bunch of bombs in their body.
Okay.
So, like, if they do wrong, then they're just like, click.
Yeah. Okay, but like the whole Joker thing, I'm not sure how much he's connected with them in the first place, but really, I just expect him to do like, is he going to do like skateboard tricks and crap, really? And then I heard a talk about like there's a still shot where he's in front of like a purple Lamborghini and he gets out or whatever and he's like purple suit with like gold chains and the bling and I'm like, oh my.
See,
not that
to
I'm
me,
like a huge Joker fan, but that's not, he's too insane to take that much time into it.
Well, here's the reason why, like, it was pretty much what I expected. Like, there are so many different versions of Joker out there. So, like, if you've read, like, All-Star Batman and Robin and Killing Joke, that's, like, one kind of Joker, which is, I think, the one they're similarly going to, because he has the tattoos.
Really?
Yeah, he's not, like, super, super insane, but he's, like, really cocky insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there's, like, the kind from, like, some of the Frank Miller work and some of the, later stuff where he's, like, just absolutely... you know, insane, and that's like the version that
everyone
Heath Ledger
knows.
Was.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's the version that's from like his originals, like the original appearances, like the first maybe 100 issues with him in there, where he's kind of like a jokester more, and he does like a lot more of the pranks and stuff, which would be like the Nicholson version.
Right.
So I knew they weren't going to try to remake either Nicholson or
Ledger
because like they're iconically done as they are.
Yeah.
So I kind of like what they're going with it, but I haven't seen enough of it to really judge.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed with it.
Okay.
But I'm not excited about it. I'm sort of excited about Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn because she seemed to kind of get the right vibe.
Yeah.
But everybody else in that trailer was super boring. And I'm like, yep, don't care.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. Superman, Batman.
The way I saw it, like, so I'm not, I don't really care. But seeing the trailer, I'm like, okay, I'm slightly more impressed by it. Like, I still, it's not like, oh, I'm excited, I want to see it. No, but the one thing that I give them props for, and I'm like, okay, now I get where you're going, is the fact that they justify the whole thing. Yeah. In the trailer, they show that, like, oh, Batman was there in Metropolis while Man of Steel was going on. He sees all these millions of people dying. His own building gets destroyed. He's pissed off, so he comes out of retirement. I'm like, now I get it. That's okay.
Right.
If it was just going to be, hey, two superheroes meet, let's have to fight, I was like, this is stupid.
Right.
But they justified it well. And I'm like, okay, I will grant you that.
And they allude to the fact that he retired was because Joker killed Robin.
Right.
Which was really, really cool. I like the way they did that. There wasn't really a lot of fighty action in there, and that's kind of when I need to see Ben Affleck be Batman. Like, I need him to be super detective-y and ass-kicking and stuff. Like, all it was like him being mopey Bruce Wayne, which I liked because I think he's going to do a great Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
But it was, like, I'm more excited about the movie, but I'm not super excited about the movie. I liked Man of Steel a lot, like, but I don't know, like,
and I think the Wonder Woman stuff was just shoehorned in there unnecessarily. Like,
I do
that
too.
Made no sense.
Like, where's the Aquaman? Like, where's Aquaman? Right. You know, but she looked awesome. Like, Gal Gadot looked great.
But, like, who the hell, like, is she fighting? Is she fighting Superman? I guess.
Right.
You know, like, why?
I think she is. But
which it doesn't. Like, suddenly they're in, like, a freaking apocalypse, like, post-apocalyptic area somehow.
Maybe he went full on. Was it solar flare?
Right.
And just annihilated a whole city.
Another one.
Right. So, like,
but yeah,
it definitely makes me more interested in the movie, but I'm not like, oh my God, I need to see this. You know, like,
I respect it enough. Yeah. I respect it enough to be like, you know, everyone that is excited, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I can see why would be. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm just not Uber
Suicide
fan.
Squad. I
think I'm really like Batmaned out. I think that's my deal. Like, I'm just there's a lot of Batman in the world, and it's just,
we need to like
dial
much
it
as
down.
I love Hugh Jackman. We need to let up on Wolverine and Batman.
Yes,
we've got enough of them.
All right, so Star Wars. There was a lot of Star Wars talk. There was a lot more teasery stuff going on. It looks awesome. I'm like super super excited for Star Wars.
Nice. I didn't actually see any of that stuff.
Oh well, you need to check it out.
Okay.
So I won't ruin any more.
I heard some of the cool stuff that went on with the panel, and then after the panel, where they did the giant concert and took everyone from Hall H and gave them all lightsabers and had a free concert.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was cool. Heroes, the new Heroes trailer.
A surprise, like a sleeper hit, sort of. Like, I was really surprised by that trailer.
Like, they really kept it under wraps, and then like this, I just watched a trailer with you and. Holy cow, man. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am so in. It very much so reminds me of, like, the first
season. One, yep. Oh. HRG's back.
Yeah.
I love HRG. And and Zachary Levi, who I love from Chuck, and, you know, Big Nerd HQ and stuff like that. And he clearly is, like, not necessarily a bad guy, but he's, like, the one hunting them and killing them. So it's a different role for him, which
he's
I think is
almost
cool.
Like Rimhorn in the first one.
Yeah.
Like,
only
like
a little more
before
aggressive.
He flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a version of him and Siler, like, together.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's a lot of cameos from the original cast showing up in the trailer, so that's cool.
I'm waiting for the cheerleader.
Yeah.
But she's on, what, Nashville?
Yeah.
So. It's still NBC.
I want to see if they bring Peter in. Like, the guy that played Peter.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be real cool. Yeah, we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some other stuff that came out of there was the Vertigo announcement, where Vertigo, the line, DC Vertigo line's coming back with 12 new books.
That's cool.
They're all some really cool creative teams. The big one on the list is Lucifer, and it's the Lucifer from Sandman, apparently.
Okay.
So that's going to be huge. But a lot of writers that I followed are all like, oh, man, I want to do a Vertigo book now. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's going to be – if you don't know what Vertigo is, it's more of like the dark, more evolved and mature – version of DC Comics.
Like a Marvel Knights line or
kinda,
more than that.
It's okay. More like their Max line. Like,
oh, the Max line. Okay,
like
yeah.
Where that's where Constantine came out of and mm-hmm. Swamp Thing and Transmetropolitan.
Okay,
That kind of stuff where it's like definitely adult read, mm-hmm. But it's really, really cool and it's really dark. The other thing was that IDW got the rights to ROM and the Micronauts, so that was kind of cool.
That's neat.
I know that everybody's been waiting for Micronauts to come back, but I was like, ROM? Really? All right, cool.
It had a long run, so though, didn't it? ROM was around for a long time.
Yeah, but it was never... It's like people's guilty pleasure book. Like, it's never like... up there with like X-Men and right. Superman. It's like
ROM the Space Knight, like no one's ever heard of except for in...
Have you read ROM?
You know, okay. Hushed Whispers. Shh.
Have you read ROM? You know, like that.
Are you saying read ROM? No, I said have you read ROM?
I mean, yes, I did say read ROM. I really do like ROM. He's a Space Knight.
Having too much fun with this.
Right. I remember like one of the first weeks I was at the Mills, as a manager, someone came in with like four totes, like big plastic totes, and all of it was just ROM. Oh. And Ryan and I were like, oh my God.
$5? There you go.
Because ROM's like really overprinted too, but it was weird. So, yeah, like, and there was some other cool stuff that happened too. I don't really remember anything that was super, super newsworthy.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much. And I was... You know, not going to Comic-Con, I try not to like really
right.
depress myself and reading up on it. So.
But in the same, like I was telling you earlier, though, like the reason that I think a lot of people like don't go there to buy stuff anymore mm-hmm. is because everyone that goes there just basically goes for all the trailers and stuff, and that's all that the news covers. Mm-hmm. And we just watched half of them in bootleg and half of them regular right now.
Yeah.
And they're on YouTube. So what, like, it's mm-hmm. almost like, well, I don't really need to go unless I'm going to go and buy something, mm-hmm. you know? So it was cool, but I saw a lot of great cosplay pictures.
Yeah.
Some cool videos, looked like it was a lot of fun every year. Couple of our vendor friends were there. They said it was a good time. I've never been to one, but eventually I would like to.
I've been to three. So. It's awesome. I want to go back. Cool. Very much.
All right. The last thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about Ant-Man for a few minutes because I got to see the screener. You didn't see it.
I did not. I want to
so
see
it. So here's what we're going to do. I will let you ask me three questions about the movie.
All right. Like with that.
I will tell you that I liked the movie. Mm-hmm. It was very espionage-y. Mm-hmm. It was not over-the-top funny like Guardians, mm-hmm. But it was super well-written, and they homaged things very well.
Okay.
So... I recommend it to people. I know a lot of people didn't like it. I think it's going to be a love it or hate it. All right. So three questions.
Okay.
And if they're spoiler, if they end up being spoiled, I'm going to answer them honest.
Okay.
As all honest right. as no, I can. But I'll you get three general. Questions, yep. Brian.
General stuff. So.
Okay.
How were, this is like a large question.
Okay.
How were the special effects and also how well did they utilize the shrinking, growing aspects in the action? Like, I've seen the one thing where he's, like, going down the hall that he's fighting the guys, he's growing, he's shrinking, he's using, you know, he's punching and stuff. Like, but how was it, like, for the movie? How did it look?
So, the first time he shrinks, he, like, falls backwards into a tub, mm-hmm. okay? And when he hits it, he's, like, sliding around and everything's ginormous. But all of the sound effects change to what it would be like if you were that big.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so it's really, everything's really clear. Like the special effects are great. Mm-hmm. But the sound effects even are changed to affect that sound.
That's cool.
The ants alone, because there's four main ants that they use. There's like a flying one, a fire one, an electric one, mm-hmm. and like a pincher one. Mm-hmm. All the effects for those guys are awesome. They're like when they're flying around, it's awesome. When they're not, it's great. When they're building stuff, it's cool. So the shrinking, not shrinking effects, like it's great because like, I mean, cause they totally explain like, you know, even when you're small, you still have the strength of your full size 200-pound man.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Right. So there's really, like, it makes situational things awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a small scene where they're fighting on, like, a toy table.
Yeah, that's from the trailer.
Yeah,
that's
and great. They, like, and he, like, picks up a Thomas train, and mm-hmm. he throws it at Yellow Jacket, and it, like, he just, like, swats it away.
Right.
So, like, to see, like, and then you just see this toy train land yeah. on, like, the window sill, and you're just like, what the hell? So it's fun because they make it interactively well done like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, all kinds of stuff, like there's parts where like he runs at people, he'll shrink and he'll wail into them and they'll fly around and then he'll like jump to the next guy and whatever. And like he knows parkour and he gets trained, you know, gets additional training in the movie. And like through both of it, like he can use physics like that. And it's just awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. It's very, very well done on that one. Okay, all right. Two more questions.
Second question. How, was the acting? How was the acting about everybody? So like Evangeline Lilly, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas. Like
how was their portrayal in character?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought everyone was amazing.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas, they do like the in the past sheet scenes. Mm-hmm. So like they make him look young, but he's totally still Michael Douglas. He's mm-hmm. still like almost like grumpy old man, but like pompousy grumpy old man, right. So it's very Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly's Hope is very good. It's weird though because like she first comes off kind of resentful and then she moves into more of a like, all right, we're gonna do this mm-hmm. type of vibe. But the whole thing, like everything that she does in there, like her character really evolves probably the most of all of them. I don't want to say anymore because it kind of ruins stuff.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd though, like, nailed it.
Yeah.
Like he's the perfect anti-hero guy
mm-hmm.
because he's not trying to be the bad guy by doing all the heisty stuff, but he has good reason to do it because mm-hmm. he's trying to get his daughter back.
Right.
So which is straight out of the books.
Yep.
You know, that's something that happens. And you know they. Like the heist where he's stealing the Ant-Man suit is straight out of the books. Like he stole the suit
right.
so that he could have money to see Cassie.
Yeah.
And it's all like the same idea is just portrayed right through the whole movie.
Nice.
And it was a super like everybody just did really well. You don't see a lot of the bad guy, Dr. Cross,
mm-hmm.
but he like you really have to pay attention to every little word that's said,
okay.
because there's parts where like they say stuff that it'll affect this,
okay.
and like later in the movie you're like, oh, that's why he's so batshit crazy. but it was really really well done, and like there were Easter eggs everywhere with it.
Awesome.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so final question.
Yeah.
Where do you put it in the Marvel pantheon of movies in terms of, every movie is their own entity. You can't be like, oh, it's just as good as this, but like,
okay.
In terms of enjoyment, was it like one of your top movies? It was like really up there. It was in the middle. It was like,
All right. So I put, when we did the other 10, I put Guardians near the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is, it's just as good as Guardians.
Okay.
But it's not as funny. And it's a little more, it's a lot of espionage thefty movie.
Which is cool. It's a nice change.
Like, if you like The Italian Job,
mm-hmm.
like, it's kind of got that vibe.
Okay.
Because there's a little humor in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's super fast paced, too. I definitely put it, like, in the top half. It's not like, oh my God, Avengers amazing,
mm-hmm.
but it's better than like Incredible Hulk mm-hmm. and Thor.
Gotcha.
I don't know. It depends because everybody puts them in different places.
But I meant for you, for your enjoyment.
For me personally, I definitely didn't think it was like, oh my God, this is amazing,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't think it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely put it like probably up like on the higher end of the mid tier,
okay.
just because it was something new that they haven't done yet.
Right.
And I want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
But everything they did made sense. Like, the homages to everything that happened in that movie. Like, if you know anything about any of the Ant-Mans,
mm-hmm.
like, you'll understand it.
Cool.
And it was cool because, like, Hope Pym is from the M2 universe. She was the Red Queen.
Like, oh, okay.
She was the Wasp of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up, like, not existing in the regular Marvel universe because Hank and Janet never got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here it's kind of interesting because, like, you don't see Janet. You don't see her face ever. You see her in flashbacks, but you never see her face.
Mm, interesting.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And like that's there's like a big plot point with her, which is like, but the plot point with Janet is totally taken from a book's context.
Nice.
And they work it into everything. Mm-hmm. And they also introduce the Microverse, which is totally weird.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, it's intense. Like if you. This is going to be the movie for, like, people who really love comics.
Okay.
People who just like the Marvel movies may not get all the jokes and may not get all the plot points and may not get all the Easter egg-y stuff.
Gotcha.
But it's still very well done. And, like, parts of it remind me of, like, Brian Michael Bendis books.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Like, where, like, okay, so Hank has these dudes that work with him, like, that are other thieves, right? Mm-hmm. And the one guy's always like, oh man, we got this thing, and this guy told this girl, and this girl told this guy, and this guy told this guy, and this was it. And they, as he's saying it, they like show clips of them talking like that through it. So it's very much so like a Brian Michael Bendis
book.
Yeah,
that's great.
So it works out really like it's really really funny. Like those parts are kind of the funny parts, but then when it needs to be serious, it's serious.
Nice.
I
look forward to seeing it. I think it's going to be fun.
My only comment, like I said to you earlier, like my only criticism was, if you have this badass yellow jacket suit that can shoot lasers and fly, why do you need it to shrink to have an army of them?
Right.
That's my only thought. I was like, really? but other than that, it was really good. It does take place after Avengers 2.
Okay.
Because they make reference to like city, like the Avengers are too busy keeping cities from falling from the sky.
Oh, nice. Okay.
As you can see from the one trailer, the Falcon's in it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, hilarious.
Okay.
Like, right. Like, it's super funny.
All right, cool.
So, definitely good. There's two bonus scenes, one mid-credit, one after.
Nice. Okay. Back to that.
The mid-credit one is focused on the Ant-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is not. It's more general
universe.
MCU.
Yeah.
Nice. But it's very, very well done. I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people are not, but you know what?
Can't please everybody.
Exactly. So I didn't like Guardians that much, and everybody was like, why didn't you like Guardians?
Right.
It's like, because I have taste? I don't know.
Oh, no, wait a second.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, it was really good. But all of them were good. It's weird when people like your question about like where would you put them in the Pantheon. It's like, I don't know, because like I hold the Marvel Pantheon so much higher than a lot of other things because they've just been so well together and well written and well done that it's hard for me to be like, well, I liked this better than, like, I liked every Marvel movie so far better than the second and third Nolan Batmans.
Nice. Okay.
So, but I like Batman Begins a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I would put that somewhere in this Pantheon list if I could.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's just one of those things, but, it was a lot of fun. So, anything else we have? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we're good. Cool.
We've nerded out quite a bit.
We did. So next, and so now you have to go watch it.
Yes.
And
I'm gonna try and watch it within this week sometime.
Cool. And if you get to see it this week, we'll compare notes and then maybe we'll talk about it some more.
Awesome.
Maybe next time we'll do full spoiler, like full on spoiler.
Right. Because it'll probably be 2 weeks. So the movie will be out for like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. It'll be good. So the next big nerd movies, I think, is Star Wars, right?
Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic Four.
Which I have no desire to see.
I only want to see it to see how bad it is. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Like, I just... I love... Because Doctor Doom is like... He's one of my all-time favorite...
Mine
if
too.
Not my all-time favorite villain.
Yep. I love Doctor Doom. He's awesome. But, yeah. Although, I guess more stuff from that came out as well. Comic-Con. And it
but
was
no
like,
one cared.
Yeah. But it was
like...
The
thing is naked... Did you see that?
No.
The thing, like, basically walks around with no pants on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Ryan, the manager here, was saying that, I think it was him, was saying that it's kind of something that came out about the movie that's kind of cool is that when they get their powers, like, they're completely just throwing everything Fantastic Four out the window.
Yeah.
And so the government locks them down and keeps them prisoner for, like, years.
Oh.
And experiments on them. And then when Dr. Doom does his thing, they say, oh, my gosh, we need your help. And they're like, screw you. Why should we help you?
Oh.
You know, and so that's, I think that explains some of the fight scenes from the earlier trailer where they're, like, going through, like, the facility.
Oh,
and, like,
okay,
fighting
okay.
Soldiers.
That makes sense now.
But still don't want to see it.
Yeah. I hope we get a screener for it, so I don't have to pay for that.
Right.
But who knows? It might be really, really good.
Yeah,
doubtful, but might be. You know, weirder stuff has happened.
Very true.
So, all right, cool. Well, have a good night, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye.